Good morning. Welcome back to the God School. The God School. The emphasis is on God. So much of teaching today is on men and by what is seen, it is somehow suggested that if they have blessings in this life, then they are righteous. We are constantly endeavoring to teach the gospel of God. That is, in the Greek, the evangelion, called the good news. In the etymology of our English language, we can trace back and find a point where the word gospel is God spiel or God's spell. And we know from our experience that to use a phrase, to cast a spell means to come under the influence of what was said. And in the context of the God spiel, the God spell, the good news, the man or woman of God, in this day called Christian, comes under the influence of God's word. Romans 1:17, 1:16, the Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the God spiel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that faitheth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm not going to bogged down in that. Let's continue. "For therein," King James says, "is the righteousness of God revealed." That's not how it's put in the Greek. A better translation would read, "For in it," in what? In the gospel. In what? In the God spiel. In what? In God's word. "Is a righteousness," and not "the," there's no definite article in the Greek, For therein is a righteousness from God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, proper translation, the righteous shall live by faith. Romans 5:17th verse says, in Paul's arguments for that which God calls righteous, and he calls or he equates or he reckons, an accounting term, faith for righteousness. It says in the 17th verse of the 5th chapter, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace, unmerited favor, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. This week I've listened to several hours of my pastor's teaching, that is Dr. Gene Scott's teaching, on this word righteousness. Its root in the Greek is dike, and we find all kinds of variations with prefixes and suffixes. The Greek language is built on roots. The root is dike. Now, when the Jewish scholars around 200 BC translated the Hebrew into the Greek language, they translated this dike word from the Hebrew word tzedek. We find this word tzedek in English being translated righteousness, and all its forms, righteousness. And the root meaning of this word being translated in the Hebrew has everything to do with keeping covenant. Now, it should be noted that this, which we call the Bible, is called or is made up of the Old Testament and New Testament. It doesn't say Old Covenant and New Covenant. It's more specific. It says Old Testament and New Testament. We can relate to those words because in our own language, we understand what a testament is. It is written by a testator, that is one. It is not a mutual agreement. It is expressed by the testator. And it is properly put forth in that 17th verse of Romans 1, for in it, speaking of the gospel, is a righteousness of God revealed. God, being God, is the origin of both the Old Testament and New Testament. We find in the Old Testament the law. It is an expression of God wherein, if it were kept, God in his testament, in his soul expression, says, if it were kept, a man would live. Leviticus 18. Paul says in understanding that this law was meant to be a schoolmaster to teach us all that man couldn't keep it. And that therefore, we might look to God for another righteousness that found in the gospel, wherein God says of the one faithing, that is, grabbing hold of the promises of God as though they're more real than anything that we might see, feel, or encounter. God calls that faith, and he equates that to righteousness. He equates that to keeping covenant. He equates that as something that he will give eternal life for. Now, Don, you say, what does all this have to do with the time for hiding is over? Well, there are other manifestations of God's righteousness, that is, God keeping covenant with that which he said found throughout this Old Testament. That is what we are exploring. That the confidence in God's righteousness, in God's faithfulness, might be built up in you, in your knowledge, in my knowledge of God, and by it understanding comes that God is righteous, that he is faithful, that he does what he says he will do, and he can be trusted. Oh, my hope for all of God's children is that they is that we all might continue in that which God calls a righteousness of his, that is faith. For God has revealed himself to be faithful, to be righteous. He keeps covenant. Better understood, he keeps testament. He keeps that which he has spoken. Now, as we continue in looking at these promises of God, which profile a people that he called his own. I was doing another study, and we're not going to get into all that study today. That'll be for some time in the future. But you might mark this in your Bible. 1 Samuel 12:22. In fact, I'd recommend, we don't have time to do it today, but I'd recommend that y'all read this 12th chapter of 1 Samuel and see God's continual faithfulness in spite of the people's unfaithfulness. God's continual faithfulness of responding to his people when they acknowledge their shortfallenness and turn to God But it says in the 22nd verse, it says, for the Lord will not forsake his people. For why? For his great name's sake. Because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. You understand? God who is God, and he can do whatever he wants and over and over he expresses his wants. And it says very clearly that he will not forsake his people for his great name's sake. And we have a name of God, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. That the power of this expression might cause to understand a little bit more about God and his relationship with his people, Israel, of whom properly understood are both the house of Judah and the house of Israel, two separate families, we've gone through some of that. We ended in these promises wherein it says in the 15th verse of the third chapter of Jeremiah, he says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, pleasing, if I may, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Let's continue on in these promises of God. That was promise number 24. Promise number 25. 16th verse of Jeremiah 3. And it shall come to pass, when ye shall be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, speaking of a time coming, Jeremiah, speaking around 600 BC, talks of a day coming where it says, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. God's describing a people, his people, in whom he was, in whom it pleased the Lord to make you his people, they're not going to look like those people who worship the Ark of the Covenant. It's not going to be remembered anymore. They're not going to visit it. This is powerful. If God has given you ears to hear and eyes to see, a powerful statement of God. The 18th verse says, this is promise number 26. King James says, in those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. If they were the same, does God need to be redundant? He obviously makes a distinction. The better translation, and you even have it in the margin, it says, in those days the house of Judah shall walk to the house of Israel. Can I give you a little history? As a kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, which was wiped out in 70 AD. I didn't say the Jews were wiped out. I said the kingdom was wiped out and the land taken from them. And did not in their possession have recognition as a land which today we call Israel. How did it come about? Well, after World War I, or about as World War I was drawing to its conclusion, excuse me, there is that which is called the Balfour Declaration. It was a British document. The British having conquered the Ottoman Empire, which at that time ruled over Jerusalem and that land which is called Israel today, the Balfour Declaration declared a homeland for the first time in 19 centuries for the Jews. It says, and the house of Judah shall walk to the house of Israel. In 1948, after the end of World War II, and I have no doubt, because of the inhumanity brought about by Adolf Hitler and his hatred of the Jews and his attempt to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. Remember, God's people, those that it pleased God to call his people, of whom the house of Judah is part, the whole world acquiesced to that demand by a president of the United States of America, whose name is Harry Truman, wherein he demanded that the U.S., or that the U.N., recognize and make a new nation in Palestine, which is now called Israel. It was brought about by British power in the Balfour Declaration. It was brought about by the power and influence of the United States in those days. The house of Judah shall walk to the house of Israel. And promise 27 is, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given them for an inheritance unto your fathers. God says, house of Israel is going to bring this about for the house of Judah. History. Shows off God's righteousness and what he says he will do. Promises 28. Is Promises 28 and 29 are contained in Jeremiah, the 15th chapter, in verse 11. 28, the Lord said, verily, it shall be well with thy remnant. That's 28. The rest of the verse, verily, I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. If you read this story of Jeremiah, when Jerusalem is overthrown by the Babylonians, they're given order to treat Jeremiah well. Not only is Jeremiah mentioned, but it says with the remnant. listen to this. The 14th verse of that same 15th chapter says, and I will make thee to pass with thine enemies into a land. Listen to this. Which thou knowest not. God says, he's sending Jeremiah to a land which he doesn't know about. That's Promise 30. Promise 31, Jeremiah 16:13. Therefore I will cast you out of this land into a land ye know not, God repeats himself, neither ye nor your fathers, and there ye shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor, mercy, continuation, the consistency of God's word that we find in that teaching which we just did out of the book of Hosea. Lo Ammi is one of the names of the children of Israel not having God's mercy. But in the 15th verse, we find promise number 32. It says, but, always pay attention to those buts in God's word. The Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Promise 32a is, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. What is God saying? You know, too many in the church just leave the subject. They just use the name, the lost tribes of Israel. And they just leave it there. As though not only are they lost from our eyes, but lost to God's eyes. But God says, for mine eyes are upon all their ways. They're not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. God sees everything. Nothing is lost. And we are attempting in this series to open the eyes of God's people to another righteousness of God, wherein, when the righteousness found in the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, that this righteousness of God may add confidence and courage to that which is proclaimed in the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, we started this series many weeks ago. In 2 Samuel 7, wherein God promised a perpetual seed of David on a perpetual throne of David, ruling over his people Israel. And it's as if David said to God in response to this great promise, God, you didn't have to do this. You didn't have to say this. But because you said it, David says, do as thou hast said, that thy name may be magnified . Jeremiah picks it up in the 33rd chapter, verse 17. This is promise number 33. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the, listen, house of Israel. We would have proper understanding of God's word that, well, I'm going to go on. Listen to this. Promise 33a. Listen to this. Is the 24th verse of Jeremiah 33. It says, considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord has chosen, he has even cast them off. Thus, they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Look, this proclamation is being made by the heathen. And they think that they have now a proper rationale for despising God's people, the two families. They say, he has even cast them off. They think God is not a righteous God. They think he keeps not covenant. They are looking at circumstance. They are blind to the truth. And therefore, they have great courage in being opponents of a people that it has pleased the Lord to make them his people. Considerest thou not what this people is heathens. This people is outside those people of God's old Testament. And therefore, They had confidence to despise God's people. That's promise promise 33a, but God goes on in the 24th, 25th verse. Listen, let's go back. Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord has chosen, he has even cast them off. Thus they despise my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord. Here's God's response. If my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have, God says, I will cause their captivity there, as the heathen said, casting them off, to return and have mercy on them. I want to, for today, leave that there. And we'll pick up, God willing, next week with the 34th promise as we attempt to bring knowledge and understanding. Folks, we, through God's word, are showing God's absolute hand in history. And his power and his righteousness and his faithfulness to his word. If he can control nations and day and night and the ordinances of heaven and earth, in this New Testament, in this good news of Jesus Christ and God our Father, it is said, I shall be with you always. And it is said, fear not, for your Father knows what ye, and I'm talking to you and you and you and you and me, fear not. I have no idea of all the needs of all God's children. But I know this. God says. Jesus said of the Father, "Fear not, for your Father knows what you have need of." Just leave you with a couple of verses. In the 6th chapter of Matthew, it says in the 7th verse, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask him." The 31st verse of that same 6th chapter says, "Therefore take no thought, saying," don't fret about this, "saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." I'm bristling. Because so much of what's being preached in the church today as the gospel of God is focused on these temporary things. What shall we eat or drink or be clothed with? It says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow." There's a marginal note. "No anxious thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself." Nobody ever gave up because of today. But anxious thoughts about tomorrow, God's promise, and he is righteous and faithful, is as thy day, not as thy tomorrow, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. And the rest of that promise contained in the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy, called the Song of Asher, tells us that God the faithful God. He is on the corner before we get there. Keep on walking in faith, which God reckons as righteousness. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that's the God School for today.